in song this morning. Beautiful morning on the campground. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. Really enjoyed our Bible study time. You're going to love Jack French this week. I promise you that. He's been a wonderful brother to me down through the years, and just great to sit under that teaching. We had to squirm a little bit in here, but that was a wonderful, practical holiness message. And you may not have heard some terms that we equate with the holiness message, but you talk about the testimony of the sanctified life. What Brother Jack was giving us was some powerful stuff. So looking forward to working with you this week, my brother. Love you. And if you don't like Jack, I promise, get to know Joni. You'll love Joni back there. Jack's like a lot of us. He married way up. And she's one of the sweetest ladies around. So you're going to enjoy them this week at Taylor County. Well, get your Bibles. Psalm 100 is where we're going to start this morning. And I'm going to use several scripture references. We may turn to a few, but otherwise just allude to some of the passages. Had a little trouble coming up with a title for my message this morning. I started off with order of service or order of worship. And you'll see where that comes from in just a moment. But then I moved on to eight pillars of worship. And that's when I really got my alliteration working. Dr. O.D. Lovell would have been proud. I came up with eight P's. And get your pencil and paper ready, because I'm still going to give them to you in just a moment. But here's where I landed. Eight things that need to happen every time we come to church. Eight things that need to happen every time we come to church. And I'll even make it broader than that. It's really eight things that need to be happening every day of our lives. So let's look at the Word of God. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And then here's some instruction on how we come into the worship setting. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open this word today, I pray that You would open our hearts. And Lord, that You would instruct us in the way You want to direct this service this morning. So I pray again for a Holy Spirit anointing. I need Your help this morning. Would You connect this truth with these precious people that have gathered here on this Friday morning of camp meeting? And we're going to give You all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it all. And everyone in agreement say, amen. Amen. I told you I thought of titling the sermon this morning just Order of Service or Order of Worship. I'm in a different church every week preaching somewhere, and almost every Sunday morning, or many times even in the evening services, I'm handed one of these, an order of service. And there's nothing wrong with this. It's good to plan and prepare a service. But I was in a church, I'll not say the name of the church, but it was up in the Charlotte Metro North Carolina area last fall, rather large church. And on Sunday morning, before the service was to begin, the pastor, the worship leader, praise team, a few others, pulled me into a little room off the platform. And these order of services were handed out. And we began to peruse them and look through them. And it went something like this. Prelude music, 10:20 a.m. Call to worship precisely at 10:30 a.m. Announcement video starts at 10:34 a.m. Worship package, 10:38 to precisely 10:55 a.m. And then the songs are listed there. And then at 11 o'clock, the choir is going to sing a song. 11:06, the video, God's Chisel, which is a pretty good video, was going to be shown. And then the offering. And then I started getting interested because this is where my name came up. 11:10 a.m., message, Reverend David Gallimore, and then capital letters. Message must be concluded by 11:40 a.m. sharp. And then the pastor, the dear brother, he said, let's join hands and let's pray that God the Holy Spirit will have complete freedom to do whatever He wants to do in here today. Now we're having a little fun with that. But it kind of sets up the message this morning. 8 things that need to happen every time we come to church. So we got to get going. Number 1, write this down, prayer. We start with prayer. Mark chapter 11 and verse 17, Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." It's been alluded to already in this service from our president. You can have a great revival. You can have a great camp meeting without great preaching. Are we on the same page? You can have a great revival. You can have a great camp meeting without great singing. But I promise you, folks, you'll never have a great move of God without great praying. My house shall be called a house of prayer. So as we start, 8 things that need to happen every time we come to church, there must be this spirit of prayer, this attitude of prayer. And as we come to camp meeting, many have already been fasting and praying. And yet as we come into each of these services, it's very important that we approach each one with a spiritual intensity, an expectancy. And not just kind of start mailing them in a little bit. Oh, another service. No, every time we come in here, 8 things need to happen. Every time we come to church, we start with prayer. We start the morning here at Taylor County around these altars. And we pray. I found as I travel internationally, one of the differences I see in a lot of the evangelical churches I'm in other parts of the world, much different than how we do it in America. A lot of people come into the tabernacle, come into the church, come into the worship setting, and the first place they go is to the altar. And they start the whole experience of worship on their knees in prayer. Not so much about who won the ball game last night, not so much about all the other things that are happening in life, but we begin with an intense focus on prayer. Prayer will do more, and I don't want to offend anybody in here today, but prayer will do more for your church. Prayer will do more for us than all the coffee and donuts in the world. Okay? Everybody okay? I was in a church this spring, and I'm telling you, the guy was convinced, the pastor was convinced, if he would just move the pulpit off the platform and put a couch up there and just have conversational teaching and preaching, his church would grow. I'm telling you, folks, God will do more in response to prayer than anything else we'll ever do. 8 things that need to happen every time we come to church. Really, every day of our lives, we start with prayer. We need prayer warriors. Number 2, praise. Now, these go hand in hand. We need prayer warriors, but we need praise warriors. Here's another passage if you want to look at it. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Do you get the idea that God wants us to praise Him? I found something very interesting years ago when studying the scripture. Anytime God starts repeating himself, pay attention. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Every time we come into the house of the Lord, we pray, and then there's a sequence. We're going somewhere. We start to praise. I get in some churches, and I'll have a pastor say something like this to me, and it's like he thinks he's doing me a favor. He said, "We'll get the preliminaries out of the way as quick as we can today, so that we can get you up and give you plenty of time to preach." And I kind of always cringe a little on the inside, and I'm thinking, the brother don't get it. When we come in here and pray, and then we start praising, that's not preliminary, that's on purpose. And there's something that's happening as we begin to praise. I'm going to talk a little this week about spiritual warfare. You realize we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And as we begin to praise, we begin to clear the clutter, because the enemy is going to do everything he can to mess this up. The enemy is going to do everything he can to block the blessing of God. But when we praise, there's power in praise. And as we participate in that, there's some amazing things that start happening. But now watch this. You're not going to be an effective praise warrior When Brother Charles says, "Let's stand and let's sing Standing on the Promises," and you don't stand, and then you just kind of sit there. I was in a church service back in the spring, and a lady came down and sat on the front row and looked just like that. And now I was telling Tammy about it on the phone later that night, and I exaggerated a little bit. But I said she had her lower lip stuck out so far you could write the Lord's Prayer on it with a mop. Now here's my whole point, folks. We come in here on purpose and we pray. We're headed somewhere with this. We begin to praise. And if we do not participate, we're going to be an easy target for the enemy. I guarantee you spiritual warfare is going on, and he's going to pluck you off. How many know the joy of the Lord is our strength? And yet when we're not willing to engage personally, I'm saying eight things need to happen every time we come to church. We pray on purpose. We praise on purpose. Because we're headed somewhere with this. Number three, write this down. Presence. Oh, we're ushering in the presence of the Almighty. There's a sequence here. Every time we come to church, it really needs to be happening every day of our lives. We begin with prayer. We start to praise. And the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. He dwells there. Here comes the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's our goal every time we come to church. Every time we come into these services this week, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Now you understand there's a difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of His Spirit. The omnipresence of God, God is everywhere. We know that. But the Bible says, John 14, Jesus said, "My Father will manifest Himself to those he loves." And this is an intensification of the Holy Spirit. He's here. Hallelujah. But you remember the days we would talk about praying the glory down? You remember singing about, "I remember when the fire fell"? Now we're talking about a manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's what I'm praying is going to happen every service when we come to camp meeting this year. We pray on purpose, we begin to praise, and then we experience the manifest presence of God. And let me just ask you this. Can you remember, when was the last time you were in one of those services where the manifest presence of God was so thick? I was thinking this morning as Jack was teaching a few years back, I was privileged to preach up at their home camp meeting, Brown City Missionary Camp, in Brown City, Michigan. And I'm not sure if you would have been there that day. You probably would have been. It was a Sunday afternoon. The Collingsworth family. Anybody know Southern Gospel, the Collingsworth family? They did a concert there on a Sunday afternoon. And a big crowd, 2,000-3,000 people. They stayed around and sung a song or two on Sunday night. And I was supposed to preach on Sunday night. Kim Collingsworth played How Great Thou Art. Some of you have heard that. And if you want to get blessed, just go pull it up on your computer. Go to YouTube, punch in Kim Collingsworth, How Great Thou Art. She has an anointing on her. And that evening as she played and as she worshiped, a move of God, I'm telling you, a manifest presence of the Holy Spirit fell on that tabernacle. When she got done, I couldn't get up to preach. I'm telling you, folks, I couldn't get out of my chair. And there was a lapse of 5, 6, 7 minutes. And you know, in a church service, that's a long time. And nothing's happening. And finally, Jim Keller, the district superintendent, the president of that great camp meeting, got up out of his chair and literally staggered to the pulpit. And all he would say is, I've never been this close. I've never been this close. I've never been this close. Let me tell you something, folks. There wasn't any preaching that night. But wave after wave of people started hitting the altars. Wave after wave. Move after move of God. The manifest presence of the Holy Spirit will do more for us in 5 minutes than what we can do with all of our programming and all of our manipulation. 8 things that need to happen every time we come to church. Prayer, praise, presence. Number 4, prophecy. Write that word down, prophecy, and don't be afraid of that word. All it means is preaching. The prophetic word is the preacher is telling you what God told them. And this is how the Lord and His divine plan designed it. Through the foolishness of preaching. Every time we come to church. Now, we were talking down here earlier. You've heard this statement before. Oh, we had a great service. The preacher didn't preach. Talking about Southern Gospel, when I was growing up there in West Virginia, I had my own Southern Gospel quartet. David and the Disciples. We sang 4-part harmony. I had a little business card made up. I was 12 years old. David and the Disciples, down in the corner, it said, David Gallimore, manager. And we'd go sing in neighboring churches, and every weekend we'd be out, and we were young teenagers. And oh, we loved those times when we had a great service, and the preacher didn't get to preach. And we'd just keep on singing. Well, when I was 19 years old, God called me to preach. All of a sudden, I didn't quite like those services so much when the preacher didn't get a preach. Now, you know what I'm getting at here. When there's a move of God, God can do more in 5 minutes than we can do with all our sermonizing, with all the stuff we've prepared. You can have a great move of God without great preaching. But the way God designed this, there's a sequence here. We pray, we praise, we usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now we're ready to receive God's Word. Prophecy. Again, it's a word that sometimes we shy away from. All it is, the preacher is giving to you what God has given to them. Now that's the way it should work. I will tell you this, the one complaint I probably hear more from lay people as I travel the country from week to week in and out of churches, I wish our pastor would do something more on Sunday morning than just read something he got off the internet on Saturday night. Ouch. But when the man of God has gotten on his face and prayed, and God has imparted revelation, revealed, and that word is just like a veil being moved back. God has showed himself and has opened his word to the preacher, then the preacher gets up and presents the message. Awesome task to stand between God and man and deliver that word. But it's the way God has designed this, and we're going somewhere with it. This needs to be happening every time we come to church. Pray, praise. We usher in the presence. Now the prophetic word, the preached word goes forth. Sometimes it can be delivered in 5-10 minutes. Sometimes it takes some of us a little longer. And sometimes the preacher gets chewed on a little bit because the sermon went a little too long. I always keep this little post-it note in my Bible. Let me see if I can find it this morning. I was preaching a revival several years ago in a church. It was on Tuesday evening. Got into the pulpit, and this little post-it note was there. Pastor David, American Idol comes on at 8 o'clock. Now, I think they were playing with me. I think they were kind of having a good time with me. But let me tell you something. We're headed somewhere with this. We're not just filling time. God's Word is relevant. He has a message for you and I today. Every one of these services, I'm going to come in with my cup turned upright, ready to be filled. Sit under that spout where the glory comes out. What that means at Taylor County is you sit under that spout where the air conditioner comes out. Those seats go fast when we come in here. But now, I want to receive. God's going to speak. So now, here's what's getting ready to happen. I'm going to group these two together. We pray, we praise, we usher in the presence. The prophetic word goes forth. Number 5, number 6, write these down together because I want them to be linked. What happens when the preach word goes forth under the anointing of the presence of the Almighty? There is power and there is purity. Every time the word goes forth, the result, there's power. Acts 1:8, you will receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He's here. Hallelujah. Already in these services. I like sitting down towards the front and off to the side so I can just turn around and look at the congregation. And as Brother Charles has been leading us already in just these couple of services we've had, I've looked around and I've seen the glory of the Lord on many faces. I was thinking of that song. You got me thinking Southern Gospel now, Lee. I sense an awesome moving of the Holy Spirit. I see His countenance resting on each face. I know that there are angels hovering all around us. Get this, because the presence of the Lord is in this place. He's here. Hallelujah. And as the word goes forth, there's power and there's purity. Power for someone to be saved. Power for someone to be sanctified. Power for someone to be healed. Power for somebody to be delivered. There's Holy Ghost power, but then there's purity. That goes along with this. And I link them because for too many times in the past, we've separated the power and the purity. We've named denominations because of the splitting of power and purity. We've divided on this. But what I want you to get in here quickly this morning, there's always power. There's always purity. They are married. You do not divorce them. Ephesians 5. Here's one if you want to turn. Now this is beautiful. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. You don't have to turn. Listen, husbands, love your wives. Whoa, where'd that come from? You're not preaching on that. No, but it's a beautiful example of what's getting ready to follow. And I just say this, guys, if you want a better marriage, you treat your wife the way Christ treated the church and gave Himself for her. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now watch this. I'm going to simplify it as best I can. Power and purity. There are churches that emphasize the power at the expense of the purity. And there are churches that emphasize the purity at the expense of the power. And my cry to you today is, let's not divorce the two. They are married together. Now here's what happens in the power church. Oh, they like to emphasize the gifts of the Spirit. Over here in the purity churches, they want to emphasize the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you what, folks, the Bible contains both the gifts and the fruit. We don't have to divorce them. But here's the problem. When you only go with one at the expense of the other, and we've seen this, I mean, in our lifetimes, in the churches that we associate with, if all you're going to do is emphasize the power, a lot of times they end up blowing up. But on the other hand, if all you ever do is emphasize the purity, the tendency, sadly, you dry up. Now listen, folks, I don't want to dry up. I don't want to blow up. There's a beautiful marriage between power and purity. Are you with me in here this morning? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not something to be afraid of. This is something to allow the Holy Spirit. How many times do we pray, God, do whatever you want to do, and then He starts doing something? Well, we don't. Get that done at 11:40 promptly, precisely. Now let's pray the Holy Spirit will have freedom to do whatever He wants to do. And then if it starts happening, it starts happening a little bit differently, we shut it down. What's the Bible say over and over? Do not quench the Holy Spirit. You want revival this week? Really? Revivals tend to be a little messy. Revivals tend to get out of the box quickly. But I promise you, every time we come into the house of the Lord, we need to be headed here. There's something going on. We pray, we praise, we usher in the presence. The preached word goes forth. There's power, there's purity. And let me just give you the next two. Write down number 7, perseverance. Perseverance. And all I'm going to say about that is Hebrews 12 verse 1. Talks about running the race with perseverance. We can have great services this week, and sometimes the tendency is just to fall back and say, well, it's been good. And you've heard this before, oh, I wish we could go back to how it used to be, the good old days. No, we've got to persevere. We've got to keep on keeping on. And every time we come to church, we got to go through this again. We're going to pray. We're going to praise. We're going to usher in the presence. And as the word goes forth, the revealed word of God, there's power, there's purity. And we keep on keeping on. We're going to do it again tonight. We're going to do it again tomorrow. We're going to do it again next week. And I'm going to come in here every time hungry. Sit under that spout where the glory's coming out. Here's the last one. 8 things need to happen every time we come to church. Partnership. And this is just a good reminder that it's not all about us. We heard it in the teaching this morning, especially in the American church, we've become very self-centered. But we got to understand in God's divine plan, it's never just about us. There's a holy partnership that we've entered into. And every time we come to church, we're going to be blessed. Oh, yes. But we're going to be blessed so that we can go from here and be a blessing to someone else and be used of God. I'm going to tell you a little story in closing that just brings conviction to my heart. Our good friend Stan Toler, and a lot of you know Stan. He's been here and preached from this platform. He has cancer. We need to be praying for Stan. But Stan told this story and it just convicted my heart. He travels, speaks, of course, all over the nation, around the world. And he said he got on a flight that the schedule had got changed. And the itinerary was changed. And he was a little frazzled thinking, you know, if he would even make his next speaking appointment. And he said as the flight schedule got changed, he lost the seat he had on the first flight. And as he got on the next plane, he got that dreaded middle seat that nobody wants. Three seats on this side of the plane, three over here. He got a middle seat. And he said, I'm just being honest with you. He said, I was already kind of in the bad mood and I'm thinking it's getting worse. And I'm wondering if I'm going to make my assignment. And he said, as I sat down in that middle seat, I'm kind of hoping to myself, maybe nobody else will come. And I'll be able to move around a little bit. Well, he said, in no time, the flight attendant showed up with a little 11-year-old Down syndrome boy. And when a child doesn't have a parent or a guardian, the flight attendants take care of them, seat them, and then get them, take them off the plane. And the little 11-year-old Down syndrome boy is got the window seat. And so he passes Stan, and Stan said, I'm just telling you. In my mind, I'm thinking, well, this might be a little interesting. And in no time, a businessman comes and takes the aisle seat. Stan said, nothing's being said. The plane takes off. And about the time they got to the cruising altitude, he said, that little 11-year-old Down syndrome boy started hitting Stan on the knee. And he said, excuse me, sir. He said, did you brush your teeth this morning? And Stan said he was taken back a little bit, but he said, yes. He said, son, I did. I brushed good. He said, everybody needs to brush their teeth. Stan said, it wasn't just a few minutes. It happens again. Little boy hits him on the knee. Hey, mister, did you say your prayers this morning? And Stan said he began to smile and he said, you know, maybe this flight's not going to be as bad as I thought it was going to be. This is pretty special. And he said, yes, son. He said, I did. I said my prayer. Good, good. Everybody needs to say their prayers. And he said, here it happened again. Little boy hits him on the knee. Sir, he said, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? And Stan, he was really feeling good now. And he said, son, he said, I'm a preacher. Little boy said, I didn't ask you that. Do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? And Stan said, I do. He said, I promise you, I good, good. Everybody needs to know Jesus. And now Stan said, he's smiling and he's thinking, well, this might even be a God moment. God has changed my attitude on this whole flight. And if you know Stan, he's probably thinking how he can put this story in the next book he's going to write. And he said, lo and behold, the little guy hits me again. He said, excuse me, sir. He said, ask that man beside you if he brushed his teeth this morning. And Stan said, now, son, he said, it's not really polite to interrupt, you know, this important businessman. Oh, the little boy started getting loud. He said, you need to ask him if he brushed his teeth. It's important. And so Stan's looking at the businessman and kind of winking back and forth. And, sir, he said, our little friend over here wants to know if you brushed your teeth this morning. And the businessman, he kind of was taking note of what was going on. And he said, yes. He said, good. Everybody needs to brush their teeth. Stan told her, said, I think I know where this is headed. And he said, in no time, excuse me, sir. He said, ask that man if he said his prayers this morning. And now Stan told her, says, I'm starting to really understand God might be up to something here today. And he said, I asked the gentleman, sir, our little friend wants to know if you said your prayers. And this time the businessman couldn't answer. In no time, the little boy is hitting Stan again. Sir, ask that man if he knows Jesus as his personal Savior. Stan Toller said, now, he said, I'm convinced God's up to something. And he said, I look at that businessman and I repeat what the little boy has asked. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And he said, now there's tears in this businessman's face. And Stan Toller said, at 35,000 feet in the air, I ended up having the privilege If you know Stan, it didn't take long. He started sharing salvation, getting saved as easy as ABC. Admit, believe, confess. He said, I had the privilege of leading a businessman, total stranger to the Lord, at 35,000 feet in the air because of the willingness of a little boy who's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter where you're at. There's a partnership that we've been called to be part of. There's a great commission fulfillment that's only going to take place if we're willing to do our part. So, Heavenly Father, I just pray you would take us out of here today on higher ground than we came in on. And Lord, I just pray these simple truths this morning could lead us and guide us every time we come to a service here at Taylor County this week, every time we go to our local church. Fact is, every day of our lives, I pray that we will apply, Lord, what we've learned in here today, the sequence of prayer, praise, ushering in your presence, the preach word goes forth, power, purity is the result, and then there's a perseverance and there's a partnership that we are called to engage in. So, Father, we can't wait to see what you're going to do the rest of today, all through the weekend, all next week. Have your way. We want you truly to have freedom in our services. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,